Welcome to Inclusion Matters, produced by the Center for Inclusive Childcare,
aka the CICC.
We're located at inclusivechildcare.org.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, the podcast of the Center for Inclusive Child Care. I'm Cindy Croft, director of the center, and I'm here with my colleague, Priscilla Weigel. Hi, Priscilla.
Hi, Cindy.
So once again, we're doing a special podcast with a guest from the Minnesota Department of Human Services, Nicole Fretham. And Nicole is the policy specialist with the Child Care Assistance Program. And we're so happy to have you, Nicole.
We are.
Our part one was so rich in information for our listeners about the Minnesota CCAP program. And I know it's a federal program, so other people in other states that are listening, it's not exactly the same in their state, but it still gives them an overview of this program that is meant to help families who need help with child care. So today we're going to emphasize the special needs rate that is part of that. But so welcome. We're so happy to have you.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here. Like you said, the Child Care Assistance Program that we're talking about is Minnesota's Child Care Assistance Program, and it is federally funded through the Child Care Development Block Grant. And each state has their own program through this grant, so their policies might be different. They may or may not have a special needs rate, although there is a lot in the federal law about supporting children with special needs.
Okay.
And our most vulnerable children. So it's worth learning more about your state's program and what provisions they have for children with special needs. Here in Minnesota, for families that qualify for child care assistance, we have a special needs rate that is something that can be requested, and it's a higher rate that can be paid to a provider for the care of a child who has a special need due to a disability, which requires, specialized training on that part of the provider or specialized services or environmental adaptations in order to meet the child's needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that disability could be a functional limitation or health condition that interferes with the child's ability to walk or talk or see or hear or breathe or learn. So it could be medical or developmental or atypical behavior or condition, just anything that requires additional support to help the child successfully grow and develop to his or her full potential.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a special needs rate. Mm-hmm. That's what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds like it. I mean, there's so many facets to how you can access that rate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's exciting. I know for providers that maybe are out there listening and going, "What? I didn't know about that." And so when we think about just even accessing those supports, can you kind of walk through the process of how that works?
Sure. People can become aware of this rate through many different ways. In some cases, if the family's child care assistance program worker knows that the child has special needs, or the provider has communicated to the worker that the rate is too low to really provide the environment that the child needs to be included in care, then the worker can send out the request information. Families and providers can also request it on their own.
Okay.
On the Minnesota Department of Human Services website, there is a searchable document library called eDocs. So that's on min.gov/DHS is the department's website. If you go to the searchable document library, you can search for the CCAP, which is our abbreviation for the Child Care Assistance Program, Special Needs Rate Variance Request, Parent and Provider Request. So the parent and provider would complete this request, and this request should document, what rate they're requesting, why they're requesting that rate, how did you come up with that rate?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the child's specific special needs, and what have you done that's above and beyond that has additional costs with it to meet those needs?
Okay.
There also needs to be some form of outside documentation. So for some families, if there is an IFSP or an IEP, that's a preferred documentation piece to send in. It can also be documentation from a physician or a psychologist, just indicating, you know, any assessments and evaluations and diagnoses and what they mean for the child and their impact to functioning well in child care. So when you're thinking about should I apply for this special needs, you need to, you know, go through the steps and say, you know, am I providing specialized services to meet this child's need, or am I doing the same thing as I do for all the other kids? So you need to be providing those specialized services. Are you incurring higher costs because of that? You know, whether that's because you're keeping lower ratios or you're you know, hiring additional staff, or whatever it is that you're doing that is resulting in higher costs for care. And would you charge the same rate to a family that wasn't on child care assistance? So if you had a privately paying family and you were providing all these additional services, would you charge them a higher rate? So you kind of have to say yes to all three of those. And if you do, you can complete that request, indicate the rate you're requesting, make sure that you're including documentation from an outside source of that child's need, and really you should be completing that form with the parent.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Are there, like, any scenarios, or because I think where child care providers maybe get hung up sometimes is in really understanding what that sort of the specialized care might be, or they might see the disability and get a little bit hung up on the disability, not realizing that, you know, if the child needs to be fed longer because of a fine motor delay, that in fact they also provide for other children adaptations at different times around feeding. Sometimes I think it's hard for providers to know when it's actually an issue that takes more time or takes a different level of tools or specialized care. And I think that's where they need somebody to sort of guide them through it. Is that do they go to their county worker for that?
So who I think helps them? In that scenario, if you're not really sure, the best place to go would be to the Department of Human Services, to our team, and ask for assistance. I think a lot of our county workers, you could start there, but a lot of them may not be able to provide that assistance. I would say examples of what we see when we get rates requests submitted and approved are, you know, providers that are taking fewer kids just so they have enough time to really meet the needs of this child, providers who are hiring extra staff to keep the ratios lower, providers who, you know, sometimes a licensed provider may request a variance to keep a child in a different age category where they could get care that's more at their developmental level, but the CCAP program pays rates based on the child's age. So, for example, a child that they want to keep in the toddler room for a couple more months and they have a licensing variance for it, but CCAP is still only paying the preschool rate. Yeah. You can request a toddler rate for that. So those are some of the things we see. There can also just be, you know, if you're working, if you've taken a bunch of training, if you've bought a bunch of different equipment, you can do the request for that. If there's an ongoing need for additional training and equipment that you're raising their rate for, or something to that effect, you know, that's what we're looking for, to see what is that cost and how does that play out into the care you're able to provide.
Is there a cap to the special needs rate?
So we have a formula that we use to assess the child's needs, their level of need, and whether or not the provider is meeting that need based on the description. And right now, the highest we go is about 200% of the maximum rate in that county. So that's the highest it goes for right now. But that is an internal kind of rating tool that we use, and it's not, there's no guaranteed amount in that. And it, you know, for it's staggered based on the child's level of need. So in some cases, if we assess the child's need as, you know, significant but relatively low, it wouldn't be that high.
Okay. And again, these are for kids whose families are already qualify for the child care subsidy.
Correct. So if you're not eligible for the child care assistance program, you can't adjust for a special needs rate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You have to be eligible for child care assistance and on the program.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. And one question too, when you just going back to the training the need for training and additional equipment, which might be just a one-time thing,
mm-hmm.
and that's common too, where a provider might say, "Oh, I'm serving this child with a special need diagnosis I've never worked with before. I'm going to go do some extra training. Once I do that, I know I'm going to be equipped to provide care."
And, you know, we haven't, we don't get a lot of those types of requests. Usually the requests we get are for ongoing rates, but that is one thing that you can apply for a special needs rate for.
Okay.
And I would, again, for those listening, encourage people to go to the CICC website for info modules and self-study courses on a variety of special needs and disabilities and general inclusion strategies, knowing that you would be individualizing for the child that is enrolled, but to get general knowledge, all of that is there, and it is very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering that, you know, we have some other questions too, but maybe we want to wrap up and have, you know, those for our part three.
Okay. That sounds good. Can you stay for another podcast?
Sure.
Great. Thank you both.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.